going to turn again to that passage of Scripture we read earlier, to Matthew's Gospel and to the chapter number 7. Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 7, and with God's Word open before us, let us bow, please, just in a short word of prayer. Father and our God, we thank Thee for Thy presence already with us in this meeting tonight. We thank Thee for the old-fashioned hymns of Zion. We thank Thee for our brother's ministry and song. And Lord, bless these things to our hearts. And Lord, if there's one here tonight and they're unsaved, oh, that they would heed the message of the hymn writer. Oh, be saved. His grace is free. Lord, save, I beseech of Thee. As we come now to consider Thy Word, pour out Thy Spirit upon us. Give help in the ministry of Thy Word. Fill me afresh with Thy Spirit, we pray. Bless Thy Word to every heart. Shut us in, Lord, with Thyself. And let the Word of the Lord have free course and be glorified amongst us, Lord, tonight. Even in the saving of precious souls, in the blessing of the saints of Zion, and in the glorifying of Christ. And everything that is said and done, may Jesus Christ have all the honor and all the praise, for He alone is worthy. Amen. Our text of Scripture for our meeting tonight are the words of verse number 13 and verse number 14 of Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 7. I read those verses with you again. It says, "Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat, because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." The Bible tells us that God hath made of one blood all nations. In those words really remind us that all mankind enters into this world with the same nature in the sight of Almighty God. And that nature is, of course, a sinful nature due to the fall of our first parents, Adam and Eve, and the Garden of Eden. Everyone enters into this world, wherever they are from, whatever their background is, everyone enters into this world a sinner by nature and a sinner by practice. The Bible says, "There is none righteous, no, not one." The Bible says, "We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And as the saying goes, we all are tarred with the same brush, the brush of sin, when it comes to our entrance into this world, into this scene of time. However, whenever men come to die, God's view of men is different. You see, whenever a person dies, the other die saved and on their way to God's heaven, or else they die unsaved, on their way to a lost eternity in hell itself. And the reason for this difference at death is all due to what a person does in time with the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The person who repents of their sin, who trusts the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior, they are saved. And they are on their way to heaven. Whereas the person who does not repent of their sin and who does not trust Christ the Savior, they are lost. And they are on their way to a lost eternity and hell itself. And our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, here in the Sermon on the Mount, He highlights this great difference between people at death in the words of our text tonight here in Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14, where He says, "Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat, because strait is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." Yes, here in His great Sermon on the Mount, the Lord Jesus Christ in these words is drawing before us a comparison between the narrow way and the broad way. And the broad way here refers to the unrepentant sinner on their way to a lost sinner's hell. Whereas the narrow way refers to those who are saved. Those who are on their way to heaven. And in the remaining part of our gospel service tonight, dear friends, it is this comparison between the broad way and the narrow way that I want us to look at. Now, if you are still unsaved tonight, our prayer is that this very night you too will start out on the narrow way to heaven, on the narrow way to glory. First of all, then, let us look at the broad way as Christ describes it here in our text. You'll notice that as he describes the broad way in verse 13, he describes it as a way that is wide. He says, "For wide is the gate, and broad is the way." Notice that little phrase there, "wide is the gate." And by the way that takes a sinner to hell, it is a way that is wide. And that really speaks of a person who feels at liberty to sin and to do as they please. It speaks of a person who really feels no constraint upon their life as far as God and His Word and the commandments of God are concerned. We read about such are described for us in the book of Judges. When it says there, "But every man did that which was right in his own eyes." Also, such are those who refuse God's way of salvation. Such are those who devise their own scheme of salvation by works or rites or by ceremonies of men or something of man's own invention. This is how it was with Cain that we read about in the book of Genesis at the beginning of time. The Bible says, "Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord." And Cain was one who depended on his own works for salvation, rather than depending upon God's way of salvation, which is through the blood of the Lamb. Here unsaved friend in our meeting tonight, let me ask the question, is this not a picture of how it is with you tonight? Yes, in life you live and do as you please without any concern for God and His Word. And rather than depending upon God's way of salvation, which is through Christ, the Lamb of God, you're depending upon some work, some scheme of self or of man or of man's invention for your own salvation. Dear friend, I must warn you tonight that you must give account of your life to God. The Bible says, we all must give account of our lives to God. Turn in your Bible over to Romans chapter number 10. Romans chapter 14. Look at the words there of the Apostle Paul. How he highlights this fact that we all must give account of our own life to God, our own deeds before the Lord. It says there in Romans 14, the verse number 10, it says, "For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow, and every tongue confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God." Dear friend, one day you will stand before God and you will give account of your own life, of your own deeds, of your own actions, of your own self before the Lord. If you're unsaved tonight, that is something you must realize. One day we must all stand before God, the judge of all the ages. And also I must warn you tonight, any dependence upon man or self for salvation, that dependence is doomed to failure. It cannot save you. Because the Bible says salvation is not of works, lest any man should boast. Yes, you may live as you please, do as you please. You may have your own scheme of salvation. But you must give account of your life to God one day. Of the deeds done in the body. You must give account of what you've done with the gospel. And my, if you come before God, standing or as it were depending upon some scheme of man or of self for salvation, it will be of no avail to the salvation of your soul. For look at what Christ says in our text. Notice the end of such a life. You notice what he says further on there in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, verse number 13. He says, "Wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat." Notice those words, "that leadeth to destruction." That word destruction is a warning about the awful reality of hell after this life, after this scene of time. The Bible says the wicked shall be turned into hell, and and all nations that forget God. And dear friend, tonight, if you die unsaved, if you die without God's salvation, then your soul will perish for all of eternity in a lost sinner's hell. The Bible speaks of those in hell and says the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever. There is no end to the awful pangs and pains of a lost eternity in hell itself. Friend, tonight, realize this. Hell is an awful place of eternal pain and eternal torment and punishment for sin. That is the end of all who die unsaved. That will be your end if you come to die unsaved and are found on the broad road, as it says here, leading to destruction. You think back to a few years ago, or a number of years ago, those awful events of 9/11 in New York, and the awful fires that were there in the Twin Towers that brought that collapse of those buildings, and awful death and pain and suffering. And those were awful fires. But friend, those fires are now out. Those fires are now extinguished. But that is not so with the fires of hell. They are flames that never will be extinguished or never will be put out. The Bible speaks of those in hell and says they are tormented forever and ever. There is no end to the awful punishment and judgment for the sinner in a lost sinner's hell. This is the end of the broad road of the man, the woman, the person who dies unsaved, dies in their sin, maybe depending on a false scheme of man for salvation. Oh, friend, unsaved tonight, heed the warning of Christ in our text. When he says, "For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat." Yes, we see here the broad way. Notice, secondly, tonight, notice the narrow way that Christ speaks of. And mention is made of that in verse 14 of our text. Notice what Christ says. He says, "Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." And here the Lord describes the narrow way. He describes it as a gate, he says, that is straight. And in the gospel, that tells us that the way of the saved person, the person who is saved traveling to heaven, it is the narrow way, and it is the complete opposite to the person who is still on the broad way. By the person on the narrow way is one who has repented of their sin. My, they are a person whose faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ alone for salvation. Yes, for a person to be in the narrow way means them confessing their sin to the Lord and putting their faith and trust in Christ alone for their salvation. And this was the gospel message that Christ himself preached as he commenced his public ministry here on earth in Galilee. He called to the people, he preached to the people, and his message was this: repent ye and believe the gospel. He called them to repent of their sin, to turn from their sin, to confess their sin to God, and to believe the gospel, to put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ himself for salvation. Well, that is how it was with the dying thief who was saved and on the narrow way to heaven. Turn in your Bible over to Luke's Gospel, chapter number 23. Luke's Gospel, chapter 23. And go down to verse 41 of that chapter. And here we read of the dying thief who was crucified beside the Lord. There was two thieves on either side of the Lord. One rejected him. One died in their sin, but the other was saved and set on the narrow way to heaven. And look at what we read about. And notice his acknowledgement of a sin. There was confession of a sin. There was repentance of a sin. Look at verse 41. In the presence of Christ, as he speaks to his friend who is crucified beside the Lord, he says, "And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man, the Lord Jesus Christ, have done nothing amiss." That thief knew that in the presence of Christ, the Holy Son of God, he was a sinner.
He said, we receive the due reward of our deeds. He repents of his sin. He confesses his sin. He acknowledges his sin before the Lord. Not only is there repentance, there is faith here. Faith in the Lord for salvation. Look at verse 42. As it says of this dying thief, and he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. This man was nailed to the cross. There was nothing he could physically do himself. He was totally hopeless and helpless, but he looked by faith to Christ that day. The other thief had no time for Christ. He continued on an unrepentant sinner. He never trusted Christ, but not so for this man. He confesses his sin. He puts his trust in the Lord, and he says, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. He knew that Christ was the sinless Son of God, the Savior of sinners. He cries out to the Lord to save him. And notice how his faith is rewarded, for the Lord answers him, gives him a wonderful answer. Look at verse 23 of the chapter. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. This man was saved. That day, in his final hour, in his 11th hour of his life, so to speak. In the 11th hour of his life, he was set on the narrow way as a repentant sinner. He looked to Christ and he was saved. And Christ gave him that wonderful assurance, this day thou shalt be in paradise with me, in heaven with me forevermore. He was saved. He was set on the narrow way. You know, that's the mark of all who are on the narrow way, repentance and acknowledgement of sin and faith and trust in Christ alone for salvation. Dear friend, tonight can I say this is how it must be with you. If you are to be on the narrow way that our text speaks of, that narrow way that leads to heaven, Jesus says, the Lord Jesus Christ says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. As a repentant sinner, you must confess and acknowledge to God that you're a lost sinner, hopeless, helpless, bound for hell. And by faith alone, you must trust in Christ for salvation. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And now when you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, God will forgive, he will pardon all your sins. The Bible speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ and says, and through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. Also through Christ the Savior, God will break the fetters of sin in your life. He will enable you to live for him, to live for his honor, to live for his glory. Christ says, I am come that you might have life, that you might have it more abundantly. Speaking of that blessing in his own life, the hymn writer says of the Lord, thou hast snapped my fetters. Thou hast made me free. Liberty and gladness I have found in thee. Satan's slave no longer. Now a child of God. And friend, this is what Christ can do for you. Forgive your sins. Give grace and strength to live the Christian life. And then, through Christ the Savior, God will bestow upon you everlasting life, eternal life. And when you come to die, he will bring you into heaven. Look at the promise here of Christ in our text. He says, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way. Notice the words, the promise, which leadeth unto life, life more abundant, and life eternal, and heaven's glory itself. Praise God. The Bible says the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Paul the Apostle was a man who was on the narrow way. He started on the narrow way on the road to Damascus when he repented of his sins and he trusted the Lord to be his Savior. And he could say later on, nearing the end of life's journey, he says, to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. He was looking forward to heaven, looking forward to glory. This is the end, the great prize, so to speak, of the narrow way. What a difference. The broad way, the way of the world, the way of the devil, the way of sin, leads to everlasting destruction. But the narrow way, the way of Christ, the way of the gospel, the way of repentance, the way of faith in Christ alone for salvation, it leads on to life, life more abundant, life everlasting. Oh, if you're not saved tonight, that you would heed the message of Christ. Notice one final thought just in our text tonight. Not only do we see here the broad way and the narrow way, but notice finally tonight, notice the recommended way. What is the recommended way? Look at how the Lord Jesus Christ commences verse 13, the opening statement of our text. He says, "Enter ye in at the strait gate." He's preaching here in the Sermon on the Mount. His initial remarks in the Sermon on the Mount were directed specifically to his disciples. But then he widens the message out. There was many more that day gathered around him as he preached that great Sermon on the Mount. And here he is speaking to the multitudes around him, men and women, young people, boys and girls. And his message was this to them that day. He says, "Enter ye in at the strait gate." Oh, he was telling his hearers that day of their great need to be saved. A great need for them to repent of their sins. A great need for them to put their trust in Him alone, the Lord Jesus Christ alone, for salvation. And you know, friends, tonight in our meeting with these very same words, as Christ speaks to our hearts tonight through His Word, He is exhorting you and I also in this meeting to be saved. And he says, "Enter ye in at the strait gate." He's exhorting us to be saved. He's exhorting us to embrace God's way of salvation that leads to heaven. Oh, if you're not saved tonight, listen to the words of Christ. Listen to the words of Christ in this text. Listen to the recommendation of Christ, the Son of God, when he says, "Enter ye in at the strait gate." You are not saved tonight. This is the Lord's message for your heart in this gospel meeting. As He speaks to your heart through His Word, through the Bible, through the Scriptures, He says, "Enter ye in at the strait gate." And can I say this evening, the reason why the Lord gives you such an exhortation is because He has no delight. The Bible says He has no delight in the death of the wicked. He has no delight in the perishing of the ungodly. Listen to what the Lord says in the book of Ezekiel. He says, "As I live, saith the Lord, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked." The Bible says the Lord is not willing that any should perish. Oh, as Christ looked out over the city of Jerusalem and the multitudes of those who would reject Him, He shed tears. He shed tears. Oh, He was concerned for those that were lost and perishing in sin. Dear friend, this is why the Lord says to you tonight, "Enter ye in at the strait gate," because He who is the King of perfect love, He is a concern for your soul, and He has no delight whatsoever in that you go on in your sin and that you die in your sin and that you perish in your sin. And such is the Lord's love for your precious, never-dying soul that it grieves Him to see you going on in your sin, going on toward the precipice of eternal hell and destruction if you die in your sin. That's why He makes this exhortation, because He loves you. The Bible says God is love. But also the Lord gives you and I this exhortation to enter into His way of salvation also, because Christ Himself has done all that is necessary. He has provided all that was necessary to make a way of salvation for us. And how did He do that? By coming to this world as the sinless Son of God. By going to the cross of Calvary. By shedding His own precious blood as a once for all sacrifice for sins upon the cross. Turning your Bible over to 1 Peter chapter number 3. 1 Peter chapter number 3. Look at verse 18 in that chapter. Look at what the Bible says. It says, "For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust." What's the purpose of it all? "That He might bring us, sinners like you and I, that he might bring us to God. Oh, by the sacrifice of Christ, by the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, as the Son of God, as our substitute, he satisfied God's justice. He purchased for sinful man a way of salvation, as the hymn writer says, a way back to God from the dark path of sin. Friend, tonight the Bible says, come, for all things are now ready. Well, this night, if you're still not saved, then enter into God's salvation. That's the message of our text. Enter ye in at the straight gate. Enter into God's salvation by trusting Christ as your Savior. Why? Because on the cross, Christ cried out, it is finished. All that is needed, dear friend, for you to be saved has been provided in the once for all sacrifice of Christ, been provided for you through the shed blood of Jesus Christ upon the cross of Calvary. But you know, there's one other reason as well for this exhortation in our text. When Christ says, enter ye in to the straight gate, enter into the narrow way of salvation. Why did Christ also make this statement? Why this exhortation? Dear friend, it is this. It is because you and I are still in God's day of grace. We are still in God's day of opportunity. We're still in this scene of time. Tonight, friend, realize this, that you're still alive. And that tonight in this gospel meeting, you have another opportunity from God to be saved. The Bible says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. But friend, do not presume on another time. Do not presume on another opportunity. Because the Bible says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Oh, tonight, while you still can, enter in, if you're not saved, enter in to God's salvation by trusting Christ as your own and personal Savior. The Bible says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. If you delay and you do not enter in to God's salvation and you die in your sin, your soul will be eternally lost in hell forevermore. There'll be no escape, no way back. It has been said that the loss of wealth is much. The loss of health is more. But the loss of soul is such a loss that nothing can restore. Oh, tonight, friend, if you're unsaved before it is too late, heed the message of Christ tonight. This is the words of Christ. He says, enter ye in at the straight gate. Come to Christ just as you are. Confess your sins to him. Trust in him alone for salvation. And his great promise is that him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. We're just going to bring our meeting to a close tonight in prayer. If there's one here tonight and you're not saved, friend, don't go away without the Lord. I can be of any help to you after meeting. I'll be no hurry away. Only too glad to open up the scriptures with you and point you to the Lord Jesus Christ alone, who can save you for time, for all of eternity. Oh, as the preacher's voice is silent, remember the words of Christ. Enter ye in at the straight gate. Heavenly Father, we thank thee, Lord, for thy presence in our meeting tonight. We thank thee, Father, for help given in the ministry of thy word. We thank the Lord for each and every one in our gathering that are on the narrow way, that way that leads to life, life everlasting that is found in Christ alone. But Lord, for any in our gathering tonight on sea, if still in that broad road to a lost eternity, may they heed the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, tonight. They enter into the straight gate by coming as a repentant sinner and putting their trust in Christ, the Lamb of God, who taketh away the sin of the world. Answer prayer. Bless thy word to this end. Take us now to our homes in safety. Journey with us. And while man's voice is silent, speak on, we beseech of thee. For this we pray and this we ask in our Savior's precious and worthy name. Amen.
hymn.